thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Hey, we're in the ninth Sunday of this summer series called Outbreak, looking at the church gone viral, and we're looking at the book of Acts from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end. And it's been a really great series. I encourage you today to look in your bulletin, grab that insert that's in your bulletin. Maybe you're a little techie, you want to get out a great app to help you today. Open up YouVersion. It's a great Bible app we encourage all of you to have. In the menu tab, look for events. It'll search immediately for us, and you'll see Flushing Community Church there, where all of the scripture will be already laid out for you. Questions you can respond to and keep for yourself for later review. It's just like having an insert right in your phone. So we encourage you to utilize that technology if you'd like and engage with what God has to say to us, because I'm telling you, I'm not that good today. Just not going to be. But the Spirit of God is. Amen. And I believe that there are people, there are men and women that stand up here each week, and we do our best to harness what God has been sharing with us. But that does not even come close to comparing to what the Holy Spirit can share directly to your heart, because He knows you so intimately. And I don't want us to miss that. So engage with what the Lord has for us. We started this series back on June 4th. It was Pentecost Sunday, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, and the birthday of the church. It's an exciting day. And on that day, we said, embracing the Holy Spirit is essential for every believer of Jesus. Embracing the Holy Spirit is not a good idea. Embracing the Holy Spirit is not just for a few select people. Embracing the Holy Spirit is not something that we just hope you get to. Embracing the Holy Spirit in our understanding of Scripture is essential for every one of us who claims Jesus Christ. We cannot just claim Jesus and then do things the way we want. We must walk deeply with the Holy Spirit. So we said this at the very beginning, and every Sunday since then, we have seen how the Holy Spirit continues to do things among ordinary people. The Holy Spirit does amazing things through ordinary people. And I have appreciated our staff for the last 5 Sundays in a row preaching us through the text of this story as we see miraculous things taking place. We've seen miraculous healings. We've seen miraculous releases from jail. We've seen miraculous moments where men who are not trained and equipped with great words and wisdom speak with great words and wisdom, all because the Holy Spirit is doing something deeply within them. And it gets people going because persecution hits the church because of the Holy Spirit doing this great work. And when persecution hits, you would think that would be the end of the church. People are going to be rattled. But the reality is, they did scatter, they ran for their lives, but they took the gospel message with them. And so the church began to spread in places because of the persecution. Because people were trying to quiet the gospel, the church actually exploded. And so as people took this gospel message to the villages and the towns where they landed running for their life, the church grew everywhere. And so what happened is the Christian leaders continued to hear about this, and they sent a man named Barnabas to a town called Antioch to investigate if that was truly happening in that city. Now, we met Barnabas a couple of weeks ago. You might remember he sold some property, and he gave 100% of the sale of that property to the church. There were some other people that tried to say that they did that, but they didn't do that, and it didn't end up so well for them. They died. So don't tell me you give it all. It's yours to give. It's yours to be generous. That was the point. Live a life of honesty and openness. And that's exactly what Barnabas is. His name is Son of Encouragement. He was sent to Antioch to investigate the church. From Antioch, he went to this town called Tarsus because he wanted to go see a friend that he had mentored many years before. His name was Saul. He grabbed Saul from Tarsus, and they went back to the city of Antioch to become leaders of that church, to help that church get founded, to help that church get solid, to help that church get on solid footing. And so this is where we arrive in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 says this: among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch in Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manin, a childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. Five guys listed there. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for a special work which I have called them to do." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. What an awesome picture of how this church is about ready to explode again. Now, I want to make a couple of observations. Number one, this is a very diverse group of men that are listed here. We could talk in an entire sermon on this passage about the diversity and the unity of the church. How in so many ways we are missing out on the diversity in the church today. And in so many ways we're missing out on the unity of the church today and how they function. But I see this very clearly just in the first three verses. Pastor Mike a couple of weeks ago was talking about how the church had to broaden its horizons. They had to look at people that did not look like them, talk like them, come from their same area. And we're seeing the fruit of that happening right here. These leaders in this church in Antioch came from different cultural backgrounds. One, and last week Pastor Julie talked about the various Herods that are in our history. One comes from being a childhood friend of one of those Herods. He's now seen as a prophet in the church in Antioch. How amazing is God as He is stirring the hearts of His people. The second observation I make is that the Holy Spirit is very much in charge of their daily lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that appoints Barnabas and Saul to go out of their comfort zone and share this gospel message with the people all around them. People sometimes question, why are we a part of a church that sends 14% of its income to the denomination that then spreads that around the world? Some people would even maybe ask me or Mike and say, why are we a church that's going to be putting so many thousands of dollars into a project on an island called the Dominican Republic? To a nation called the Dominican Republic? Why are we willing to do that? Well, I will say this. Our funds, 14% of it goes around the world, and we will take a trip to the Dominican Republic because from the very beginning of our time as a church, we have been called to reach out to our homes, to reach out to our neighbors, to reach out to our coworkers, to reach out to our cities, to reach out to our states, and go to the very ends of this world. That is the root of who we are. Global missions is at the heart of following Christ. And so that's why we do this. That's why we have missionaries in 160 world areas. That's why we're willing to go. Because God has called us to do that from the very beginning of our time. This is one of the very first mission trips recorded in Scripture. Now we're going to look at a map here of what this kind of looks like. Barnabas and Saul take their journey. And they leave Antioch over here, which is in Syria. Syria then, and it's Syria today. And the red line is they're going out, and they're going to sail to this island called Cyprus. Interestingly enough, this is not foreign territory for Barnabas. This is Barnabas's home area. Barnabas was raised on this island, so he's going home to see family. He's going to see people he knows, and they have a great ministry there. The city of Paphos is where they were speaking to the Roman proconsul there. And they are having this conversation when his assistant comes into the room. Now, the assistant of this Roman was a Jew, but he was misguided in so many ways. He was a magician, and his name actually was called Bar-Jesus. He was against the gospel because the gospel would eliminate his need. He liked job security, and so he was going against the people who were trying to bring the gospel to this Roman leader. And it was empowered by the Holy Spirit that Saul, who is now called Paul, it happens in this story where somehow, for some reason, Luke, the author of Acts, begins to call Saul, Paul, by his Roman name because he's dealing with a Roman leader, I think. But then we go from this point forward in Scripture, never calling Saul, Saul again. We call him Paul from this point forward. I probably will interchange it all morning. Okay? And we can, but the reality is that this Saul now becomes Paul because he's dealing with a Roman. Paul looks at Bar-Jesus and says, "You are of the devil. You are absolutely against everything of the Jewish faith and of what we are bringing to you with Jesus Christ. And because of your spiritual blindness, you are going to go physically blind." And Bar-Jesus, in that moment, this magician who's trying to twist everybody's thinking around his way of thinking, goes blind. Isn't that cool? Now, there's kids here. It's family worship. I love to see the miracles. I love to see how God is dividing very clearly. Follow me or else. We see this in Scripture. This might not be the message everybody loves to hear in 2017 in the church. But the reality is we are called to follow Jesus. And when we try to distort that, we are on thin ice. And in this moment, this magician, Bar-Jesus, goes blind. And he's suddenly depending on people to guide him. And that's how we leave him. We don't know how that turns out beyond that. But what we do know this is it says in verse 12, when the governor saw what happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. He was not astonished at the fact that the magician lost his sight. He was not astonished at the miraculous workings that the apostles were bringing. He was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. That's a great start to a mission trip. Right? That's an awesome start to a mission trip. So they walk around this island. Eventually they leave the island. They go back up to the mainland. I think I have the map back up here at some point. And they're going to sail again and they're going to end up near Perga and they're going to go on the mainland and head north. They eventually get to another city called Antioch. So in the upper left there's an Antioch and down here to the right there's an Antioch. Well, they're in this other Antioch at this moment and they're teaching in the synagogue. As a matter of fact, they go to the synagogues often when they go to these communities. The rabbis there recognize that Paul is a rabbi, and so they, as customary, they say, is there anything you would like to say to us? So if a pastor came in here, if it were culturally correct, I would say to a pastor visiting, is there anything you would like to share with us? That's what they did. Paul stood up in the synagogue on that day in the city of Antioch, not his home Antioch or where he had come from, but this new Antioch, and gives an amazing message about how God first called the Jewish people and how he's always been reaching out to everybody, but he has done this through the Jews and now he has brought Jesus and that Jesus is the opportunity for forgiveness of sin. See this in verse 38. Brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight. Something the law of Moses could never do. This is the central theme of every stop they make, every town that they visit. They want this to be the central theme. The law that they had been living under for so long always left them desiring something more. But for them in this moment, they need to understand that Jesus is there. It's Jesus alone that can give you peace through forgiveness of sins. It's Jesus alone that offers hope through His mercy. It's Jesus alone that gives us unexplainable joy through His grace. Jesus is changing the game. Their message on that Sunday was so compelling that nearly the entire town came back to the synagogue that next Sabbath day. How awesome would that be? That you heard a message so compelling that the entire city of Flushing was here waiting to hear the next one. What would the Zoning Board of Appeals do to our parking lot on that one, huh? Woo! That would be awesome. So they get there. They're on the verge of the entire town of Antioch hearing about Jesus and responding to it. When the Jews saw the crowd, the Jewish leaders became jealous. And they went to influential people, men and women, and began to say lies about these followers of Jesus. And the entire city fell in line because of a few jealous minds. They turned into a mindless mob and they ran these guys out of town. What a sad missed opportunity. Mission trip was going great. Got a magician blind. Next city, running me out of town. Taking my sandals, shaking off the sand, saying, I guess we're not going there. Chapter 14. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. That's awesome. Some Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews. Some sided with the apostles. Then a mob. Another mob. A mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them, taking large rocks and throwing them until they die. I'm glad you have forgotten about stoning preachers. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding areas, and they preached the good news. In Lystra, they arrived there, and they heal a man that has never walked, born crippled. He was sitting there listening to the apostles teach, and when they looked him in the eye, they saw that he had something. The way he was engaging, the way he was embracing their message, he had the faith to be healed. And so Peter took him by the hands and told him to stand, and he leaped to his feet. Can you imagine how that would have excited the crowd? They've known this man since he was a boy, never been able to walk or stand. They've carried him everywhere, and suddenly he's running laps around the whole place. There was quite a stir. People were excited. These people had believed before Paul and Barnabas arrived in the Greek gods. So they were convinced that Zeus had come to them and Hermes. And so they did what they would normally do for Zeus and Hermes. They went out and got animals and grain, and they were going to create a sacrifice right before Paul and Barnabas, because that's what they do. Paul and Barnabas heard about this and like, do not do that. We're just normal men that God is using to speak about the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. They're trying to get them to change their understanding, but they could not. What do we make of this? This is what I read. This is what I kind of took away. Change is difficult. Some generations among us kind of get a bad rap saying they can't handle change. I won't identify that particular group or groups of people, because I realize that all of us struggle with change. You talk to a kindergarten teacher and they'll tell you that their rules in their classroom are a struggle because for these kids, it's a new change. When I go home, I get to behave this way. When I come to class, I got to sit, right? And I'm not saying any one way is right or wrong, but I'm saying from the very beginning of who we are as human beings, change is difficult. What I see in this moment is that there are many people who embrace the message that Paul and Barnabas are giving them, that Jesus Christ is the path to forgiveness of sin, something that the law could never do. But there are many, many more who cannot embrace this change. And I'm here to tell you that they're not rejecting God in their minds. What they're doing is not able to put this teaching of Jesus Christ into the God box that they've spent all of their lives creating. The conflict has always come from the church. The conflict had always come from the Jews who could not wrap their head around this idea. Look at this. Going on in chapter 14, verse 19. Then some of the Jews arrived in Antioch and arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the town thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. And the next day they left. He and Barnabas left for Derbe. Here's what I want to say in this. There were Jews that were upset from the other towns that they had already visited and were so upset by this and could not wrap their minds around Jesus that they followed these guys to the other towns they were going to. Have you ever had a message that you were proclaiming that you felt like people were so disturbed by it that they were just stalking you? Have you ever felt that you had a message to proclaim that no matter where you went, someone from your past was there to intimidate you? That's what these guys are experiencing. And Paul was stoned because of it. He was hit with rocks to the point where he had the appearance of being dead. They dragged him outside of the storage facility, threw him over the pile of dirt over there, and said, "See ya, may you rot." And they walked back into town. That's severe. What I really don't get is when he woke up, he walked back into town. there's something different about this guy. Now, from a human point of view, this trip is suddenly not going very well. And maybe that's an understatement, right? This trip is suddenly not going so well. Everywhere they go, people do respond and embrace faith in Jesus. But they are ran out of every town they're in and nearly killed because of it. How can it be that some see the light of Christ and others remain stuck in their darkness? Has that really changed? In my own family, I was called to serve the church and to bring God's word to people. But in my own family, there are many, several dear to me, that have rejected the opportunity for grace and forgiveness of sins. How is that possible? We still experience this very thing today. I want us to look at the common thread each one of these cities that Paul and Barnabas visits on his journey. It's amazing to me. The message is the same, and so are the responses. Many respond and begin a new life, a transformed life of embracing the work of God in them. The Holy Spirit fills them, and they see people differently, and they are transformed forever. But there are many, many more who reject this. Again, not because they're rejecting God in their minds, but because they are rejecting this story of forgiveness as is being proclaimed through Jesus Christ. Here's the takeaway that I really want us to hear today. It's your fill-in-the-blank moment of your insert. I hope we can embrace this because I believe this. To experience transformation in our life, true believers must fully embrace God's presence over religion. We say this frequently about here. We are not a church that believes in religion as much as we believe in a relationship with God that is vibrant and growing and getting deeper and wider and expanding our understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not a church that believes in coming every week for the sake of ritual and doing the things you want to do because of religious behavior. I find nothing in that but hollow activity myself. Some people are really wired that there is a lot of liturgical process in their worship and it's so meaningful. And that is great because it's meaningful, not because it happens. Those things need to happen to draw us to God, not to get stuck in thinking that that is our connection to God. Is that making sense? So we have to be people that when we gather in this gymnasium, we don't even get caught up in the fact that, oh, we're a cool hip church that meets in a gym. We don't have stained glass windows like other churches. Last Sunday, I was in a church with stained glass windows and a beautiful mural picture of Jesus praying at Gethsemane. And the presence of God was so real there. I said, if I lived in that town, I'd be there. Because it wasn't about that and it wasn't about the music. It was about the presence of God because I want to be in the presence of God. That's the reality. And that can happen any day of the week, at any place in your life. It's happened for many of you at camp this summer. For many of you this past week at family camp out at the campgrounds, God has been real. I love that. But I want us to be very careful that when we gather here, we don't get stuck into religious behavior. That I come here out of routine. That I come here because when I see Terry at Kroger, he's going to look at me funny if I don't start showing up again. Every time I see someone at Kroger, it's, I'm so sorry. Listen, I want you to be here because you are dwelling in the presence of God. The believers who embraced faith in Jesus, they embraced the forgiveness of sins that put joy in their life and filled them through the Holy Spirit that gave them so much wisdom and understanding. It changed them. It changed them. And that's what I want for us today. Pastor Mike shared in our staff meeting, we're not going to have time for him to come up and share it with us today. I was hoping we would have time, but this story has so many turns that I couldn't fit it in, but I want to point you to it. It's in your insert, the text, and I encourage you to look at Ezekiel, the first 12 verses of chapter 47. It's this beautiful picture of Ezekiel getting this vision of God, from God, where he's looking at the temple and water starts flowing from underneath the foundations of the temple. And at first, the angel that's guiding him through this vision measures out so far, and the water is about ankle deep. He measures out another section, and the water is now about knee deep. He measures out another section from the river, and now the water is waist deep. And then he measures out another section, and the water is above their heads, and it's raging. And he looks, and everything along the shore of this river is flourishing. Every tree, every plant, every known animal is present there, because life is coming from this amazing river that is being shown to Ezekiel. And we were talking as a staff this week in our meeting about how the presence of God is the most essential part of our walk, not our occupation. And it's easy for pastors, it's easy for us as staff to get caught up in the connection of God to what we have to do for the church. It's easy, and that is not what we are called to do as pastors. It's not what you are called as followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to be people who want to dwell in the depth of God, the overflowing nature of His presence in our life. That is the only way that I can explain how Paul would get up from being stoned to death and walk back into a city, not because humanly it just made sense, but because Paul was living his life in the deep end of the river of life. Because the presence of God was the sustaining force of who he was. That's why he would travel this distance and say these words and start these churches. That's why he was willing to risk his life to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. We must learn in our walk with him as well how important it is to flow out of the presence of God. Not our wisdom, not our religious behavior, but the presence of God. Can I be honest with you? I've been honest with you all morning, just so you know. But can I be frank with you? I see far too many people who are good with God, active in church, involved with ministries when things are going really well in life. I see the opposite to be true too. When things aren't going so well and things are a little wobbly, suddenly we come running back to the church. But the minute things get good, the minute things settle down and the trauma's over, we go back to our existence we had before, void of the church and void of the presence of God. But can I be, please hear me, very frank with you. In the Christian faith, our life cannot be determined by the circumstances around us, but rather through the depth of our faith and how willing we are to not stay in the ankle-deep trickle or even just stay in the knee-deep rush. We need the presence of God to flow over our heads to get through life's struggles. To be able to face what God has allowed to come our way, we need His presence. And that's what Barnabas and Paul are experiencing in every one of these places they stay. They are experiencing the presence of God, that though their life is threatened, they are not disheartened. It says throughout this story that the disciples were encouraged and filled with joy. It would be difficult for me to be filled with joy when every town said, leave. But they are basking in the presence of God. They are flowing in the river of life. So if we look at this map one more time, we're going to see their path home, I think. It's the blue line. So they got to Derbe, then they retrace all of their steps. They kind of visit some of those towns again, make sure that the believers that started in those towns are doing okay. They get down to Perga, and they sail not back to Cyprus, but they go right back to Antioch, and they give a report of their trip. From the beginning to the end, they traveled over 600 miles, over 200 of which were by water. This first missionary trip established over 12 different congregations and took over a span of 2 years. Sharing all that happened, no doubt, encouraged the church. I have no doubts that people everywhere were so excited to hear what God was doing among the Gentiles and among the Jews in all of those cities that they visited. But when they got home, there was conflict. Even when they got back to Antioch, they were struggling. The conflict was between what we expect Gentile Christians to behave, how they should behave, and how Jewish Christians should behave. The conflict was similar to what they had experienced on their missionary tour, but this time it came from within their own people, from within the people who were following Jesus. They wanted to know, should we hold to the law of the Jewish faith as it relates to circumcision? Should we make all these Gentiles look like us, dress like us, and act like us? And so they called a meeting of all the leaders, including Barnabas and Paul, and they went to Jerusalem and they had a meeting. And this great debate begins in chapter 15. It was a huge moment in the life of the church. Huge moment. Realize this, the church is less than 30 years old. And it's in this moment that they're determining how you and I are going to come to worship today in 2017. In this moment, they're determining how Gentile believers and Jewish believers are going to respond to the grace of God. And Peter, who had been a little quiet here over the last couple of chapters, stands up among this crowd and says this, God knows people's hearts. And he confirms that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way. This is good. By undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, it won't be the last hurdle that the church faces. We have many in front of us in our day and age. Many. But look at how they handled it. Different than their Jewish ancestors who just ran prophets out of town. They met. They prayed. They were broken and humble. They had spirited debate. But ultimately, it was the Holy Spirit that guided them to understand that they should never return to the oppression of the law, but to see it as the shadow of what was to come, and that was Jesus Christ. The law wasn't all bad, and if you wanted to follow it, great, but it is Jesus Christ that is the primary thing and the reality of His Holy Spirit. Now, the Gentiles weren't given a free pass. They weren't said, hey, just love Jesus and do whatever you want to do. That's what our culture wants, true? In our day and age, preachers that say, do what you want to do, just love Jesus. They're growing congregations. But I'm here to tell you that's not truth. Even the Gentiles in this very first century were given a list of things to abstain from. They wanted them to know that they needed to be careful with idolatry, that there was one God and one God alone. And the other thing that they mention is that you need to be very careful about sexual immorality. And as a matter of fact, abstain from any form of sexual immorality. That made the list, a list of four. And in our day and age, we want to be loose with all of it. And we want the church to embrace a loose understanding of all of it. We need to be very, very careful on that line. In this conflict, the church realized that it's not about ritual. It's about the presence of God doing a work within each person. To experience transformation in our life, true believers must fully embrace God's presence over religion. That's what we're called in this story. Now, I know it's warm. We're coming down to the end. I want to ask you some questions today. How's your heart? How is your heart? Is it stuck? Do you feel dry? Do you feel disconnected? Are there wounds within you that have not healed properly? Are there questions that have remained unanswered? Have you felt rejected and lost? Has the ritual of church become hollow and empty? Are you looking for more than ankle-deep faith? Are you seeking more from God and not sure how to find a meaningful journey with Him? Are you ready to align yourselves with the presence of God welling up from within you? If so, all you need to do is to embrace the presence of God that desires to flow through your soul this morning. That's all you need. To come before Him and to say to Him, God, well up from within me. Help me to understand You more. Maybe today there is a sin that has been in your life or multiple sins in your life that is keeping you from the presence of God, and you need to come to a place and ask God, I want rid of this. Please forgive me from this sin and help me to walk in Your presence. He's here for you. He is available today just like He was 2,000 years ago when Barnabas and Paul were walking dusty roads proclaiming the same message of forgiveness and grace and mercy. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And as I pray, the band will be sneaking up to the stage. And I just want to challenge you with one final thought. I don't want you to leave this place today having not confronted yourself with the presence of God in your life over religion. See, I believe that in order for you to experience the presence, in order for you to experience the healing in your heart, in order for you to experience the joy and the peace in your soul, in order for you to experience a new start and sin to be released and forgiven, I believe we need to come before Him in humility and lay that all before Him. The believers, as Barnabas and Paul walked from city to city, believers would come and kneel and they would lay hands on them and they would receive an anointing of God. They wouldn't just sit and listen and go home and contemplate and think about it more. Let me think about it more. Time of thinking is done. Time of praying, "You are all I ever want. You are all I ever need," has come in this moment. I want to challenge you today to allow the trickle of God's presence to turn into a raging river within you. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the doubts that you have. I don't know your needs. But I will tell you this. Up front here, where we have places set aside to pray, are judgment-free zones where anybody can come for any reason and lay their need before the Lord. And I want to challenge you today to embrace the presence of God and to leave the notion of your mind that faith in Jesus is about some kind of religious behavior. Because it's about what the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to your heart. And every child here can understand that. And every old person can understand that. And everyone in between. May this be a day that God does a work in you. Let's stand together as I pray for you. God, today we have done our very best to proclaim your word, the story of your church that is exploding around the world. It is still exploding today, Lord. We celebrate the fact that there are missionaries all around this world and people proclaiming your message from shore to shore on every continent, proclaiming your love. Some are meeting in secret today. Some are meeting in basements today. Some are meeting in small groups or one-on-one, and some are meeting in great cathedrals. But the reality is that your Spirit desires to do a great thing, not in our ritual, but in your presence working through us. My prayer today for the Church of Flushing is that we would be a church that is not consumed by how good we look or how hip we are or how smooth our services go, but that we would be a church consumed by the Holy Spirit healing our hearts and moving in us. We would be consumed by being a church who seeks forgiveness of sin to you and seeking reconciliation to one another. That we would be a church consumed by following after you with reckless abandonment and taking that message to our homes, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, in our city, throughout our state, and to the Dominican Republic. God, help us be a people who are so thirsty we're willing to dive in on the deep end. Help us to be so hungry that we're willing to sit at your table and feast in your presence. God, help us to be people who receive and not reject. Help us to lose our sense of self-awareness just for a moment to recognize that you want to do something in us and through us that could change the course of our very lives, all because of your presence coming in and filling us. Our response on this day is not because of a well-orated message. Our response on this day is because of your Spirit calling us to go deeper into your river of life-giving water. May we receive that call, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.